This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We got some Troy Aikman audio that you have to hear right now on your lunch break, and also some stuff from Michael Irvin. We have an entire list of cuts from him so long that I haven't seen every single one of them yet, but I will soon. Kevin, I also wanted to note this. There's a lot of news happening today. Cowboys going to be on tomorrow night right here on 105.3 The Fan. You'll get that. Eli Manning, we heard earlier, is going to be starting for the New York Giants this weekend.
Sweet.
That's exciting. Cole Hamels gets an $18 million one-year contract with the Braves. And I guess what happened there is they didn't want to pay Madison Bumgarner over $100 million. So they backed off of that and turned their attention to Cole Hamels.
I read a tweet from Bob Nightingale that said that doesn't necessarily take him out of the Mad Bum stakes.
Okay.
They're still in on that, but this was just kind of hey, we'll get Cole Hamels done, and then if we can get Mad Bum, we get Mad Bum.
Yeah, and Nightingale also added now they're kind of trying to turn their attention to Josh Donaldson to take him off the market because they did so well with him last year, they'd like to have him back. Also, Kevin, you're right about that. I just saw this, Kevin. I'm interested to know your thoughts. Basketball Reference has the Mavericks at 24.7% chance of winning the West.
Wow.
Do you know who they are behind?
Clippers.
Probably
and
the Clippers.
And?
Probably the Lakers.
Nobody but the Clippers.
Whoa.
Really?
The Mavericks are second to win the West right now, according to Basketball References
percentages.
Is this the
same with the Clippers' percentages?
Kevin, you know, I'm going to have to look that
up.
Sorry,
I was just curious how close it was.
I'll find that.
They're
real quick.
Second, though?
Yeah.
Holy freaking smokes. Only, that's amazing.
Only behind the Clippers right now, who I guess because if you'd have beaten the Clippers, I wonder if that would have changed the way that they look at it. But the Mavericks right now are such a hot team that people think that they can actually. So here it is, Kevin.
That's amazing.
The coming out of the Western Conference, the Clippers at 27.2, the Mavericks at 25%. 24.7. So that, and I think that actually has gone down for the Clippers. It's not updated right now on their website.
That's still pretty remarkable that the Mavericks are second.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I talked about my theory earlier, that maybe Carlisle views Porzingis as a standout third option, and that's what he's preparing for. Look, we can already succeed with Kristaps as our third best player. We just need that second best player and Luka leading the way. And I think that will be enticing for many a free agent.
Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe that one guy learns enough from Rick Carlisle this year to become that dude. Maybe DeLon Wright grows into the role this year because he's working with Rick Carlisle enough. Who knows? Maybe they find that guy in a trade this year, Kevin.
This year, huh?
What if they made that trade this year changed?
Let's go get Kevin Love, Blake Griffin.
Completely changed everything. Michael Irvin was talking a little bit
LeBron
about
James.
Okay, sure.
Oh man, could you get LeBron? Not now. No, he's with his guy, Kevin. Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman talked. And I think whenever you hear those guys speak, it's like, okay, now I got to listen up because they're experts. They won 3 Super Bowls. They won it all. They should have won 4 in a row.
Can I ask you something about that real quick?
What's that?
You think that. I think that. Many Cowboys fans think that. But do you think that there is a generation? And by the way, if you're one of these people, 877-881-1053, let me know. Do you think there's a generation or group of Cowboys fans who are like, I don't care, old man?
Okay, I understand that.
I'm really curious.
I think you're wrong, young people. But, I mean, come on. They won 3 rings. They trump everything.
That's why I'm asking if those people are out there.
Yeah, it's all about the trump card whenever you're walking into a room. How many people can tell me I'm wrong that have 3 Super Bowl rings and they don't? All right, there are only a few people that can do that.
I would say that about Terry Bradshaw, and he has 4.
Troy Aikman was being given an award yesterday, and he spoke at the conference. And what happens? People ask questions about the Cowboys, and they asked a little bit about Jason Garrett and the job he's done this year. And this is what he had to say.
I think Jason's a heck of a football coach, and I think he's done a really nice job here in Dallas. I think this is a really hard job, probably the hardest job in football. It goes beyond just the playing field and and what all has to be managed in order to give your team a chance to have success. I think he's done that as well as anybody. At some point, whether you're in Dallas or anywhere else, I think there comes a time, unless you're Bill Belichick in New England, that it's time for a change. Now, this story hasn't yet been fully written. You know, a lot can happen. They're still in the hunt, and I would not be surprised if they did get on a run. I think they're talented enough to do it. I think they have the right kind of people. But, you know, whatever happens down the road, I'm not worried about Jason Garrett. He'll be just fine, and I think he's proven the quality of a person that he is and also the way that he is as a head coach.
Okay, so I really am amazed at the number of people who believe, both internally and externally, that believe that this team can go on a run. I mean, I hope that happens.
Never happens down the road.
I don't know why that is. By the way, some really quick, interesting feedback from the 469. If those people exist, then they are stupid. From the 817, as a 21-year-old, I feel like your Super Bowl wins from 25 years ago mean nothing. And from the 830, I'm 23 and I listen to Troy and Michael because they know exactly what it takes in and outside of the locker room.
That's why I don't understand mean nothing, because the game's changed and you don't understand what it takes to get a team to follow. See, that's the thing that Troy did. And when you talk about command, and even Troy talks about, you know what, real quick, Kevin, Troy talked about the leadership of the Cowboys from the organizational standpoint, and he thinks that that's one of the biggest problems.
There's a lot to this job. There's a lot that you have to overcome. It's not run traditionally the way most organizations are. I think that's to the detriment of the Cowboys. I don't think you can look at three playoff wins in the last 25 years and surmise that all the problems over that time have been a result of coaching. I think you have to look at the top and say, how are we doing it from the top? I think businesses do that. I think organizations, I think anyone worth their salt, evaluate it from the top down, and just simply changing the coaching, you know, I don't know that the results will be all that much different.
So this is a guy that won three Super Bowl rings with that kind of organization. Now, did Jimmy Johnson run it differently? Maybe.
I really wish that I knew if that follow-up question was asked, then how did you win?
Yeah. And so if Troy was able to win there that way, then why can't somebody else figure out how to do it too? And again, when it comes to somebody saying you won Super Bowls 25 years ago, you don't know Jack, that's a guy that everybody in the locker room, even Michael Irvin, said it was Troy's locker room. It was, if Troy wanted something, it got done. And you heard Lyle Collins say that about Dak recently. Look, when Dak was in the back of the room, he was the same guy that he is whenever he had to step to the stage. And I think that's something that you get respect within the locker room because of that. And that's the reason, Kevin. Maybe the leadership that was in the locker room and the coach that they had at the time won in spite of what Jerry was doing at the time. And that's why I feel like knowing how to win three Super Bowls should be something that you can take. You can take a nugget from it. You can take information because you haven't experienced everything at 21 years old. You haven't experienced enough to know.
I'm pretty sure I knew everything at the age of 21. Thank you very much.
Same, bro.
No, you didn't.
Do you think that the Cowboys just need a string or a group of transcendent talent then to overcome Jerry in the front office?
Well, that's what they had. They did have that, man. I mean, with those three guys, they had it. I do know, like, there were times afterwards, whenever Jimmy left, that everything, you know, they were able to win with Barry. Maybe in spite of Barry too, but they weren't able to put it all together as Jerry was trading away draft picks for Galloway, you know, all those things that happened there too. So I don't know.
And that's one of the problems that I run into is, like, we have good talent. I think we have good talent, but you don't necessarily feel like this team has transcendent talent, and maybe that's what it's going to take to overcome, as Troy was not just alluding to. It feels like he was just flat out saying
from
it.
From the 469, as a 24-year-old, how could you not listen to guys who were where you want to be? That's what I'm thinking. They did it. They got there.
I would just say in the younger people's defense, is, like, think about the way you were when older people gave you advice. Did you always take that advice for what it's worth from somebody who had literally been on your path? Or did you think, well, my situation is different because of X, Y, and Z? Because that's what I think is, I think people take that information and they're like, yeah, but my situation is different and you don't understand why it's different. I'll defend the young people there.
Okay, yeah, because you're always trying to be a trailblazer when the wheel's already invented, Kevin. Why don't you just make your own spin on the wheel? I mean, it's already there.
Oh, man, I'm also somebody whose path of least resistance, and if I can just add a hat or something to a product and make all the money, I support that too.
Let's go to Cut 23 here. And Michael Irvin was on with Sean and RJ. Let's do a quick radio rewind here. He was on with Sean and RJ. He was impassioned this morning, Kevin. He was fired up, and he was asked what the Cowboys need to do to turn it around.
The main thing has to be the running game. It has to be. We got to win with the running game, and I'm saying that's what we have to do now. And sometimes they get impatient with the running game, all because of what happened a couple of games ago when we tried to run Zeke and they lost those yardage, and then now we start reacting to that. Our way of getting there is through that running game. We got to get back to manhandling the offensive line. The offensive line has to get back to manhandling the defensive line and allowing that run game to be the protagonist, to be the main character in this movie. It has to be the main character in this movie, and everybody else and everything else is the supporting role around Zeke. That's the only way we go far in these playoffs if we get in that dance.
We talked about it before. This team has been at its best when it runs well. It knows how to run the ball well. It hasn't this year. There have been times, but man, Maybe everybody's been wrong with the analytics. Maybe the Cowboys passing game, while the rest of the league's good at it and can win at it, maybe the Cowboys are just best to go about it and run. I don't know if I agree, but the Cowboys don't have the identity that they need right now. And they got to figure out what that is. And some people are like, oh, identity's stupid. Man, I disagree. If you know what you're good at and the opponent knows what you're good at and they're like, crap, how are we going to stop that? They're scared of it. And you can get them off balance in so many different ways. Kevin, he was also asked, what would have been his reaction during his speech to Michael Bennett's speech?
And as a matter of fact, Ray Lewis and I was talking about it yesterday in New York as we were shooting Inside the NFL. Ray came to me, you know, because Ray and I, you know, as I was raising him when he was a young kid, Ray said, he's Playmaker. I can't believe Michael Bennett was the one that said something. I said, I know. I said, thank God he did. But I know, because if I was in that locker room and Michael Bennett, I would say, sit your ass down. Well, I got this. Don't you say a word. I mean, I appreciate you about to say something. I appreciate that. But I got this. And the way we broke it down was like this. We have dogs on our team. We have dogs. The Cowboys have dogs. They got players that'll fight. But our dogs only bite when you come in their house. We need dogs that'll bite when you come near the neighborhood. Don't we? When you come near the neighborhood, I want you to be scared. Like, oh, somebody in the neighborhood. Start picking up rocks and sticks because you don't know where the dog is. That's what we need. We need dogs that bite people in the neighborhood, not just in the house.
Woo! Okay, I can't tell you. I don't know if I heard a couple of the words he said because I started to like drift off and imagine football teams needing rocks and sticks to fight off the Dallas Cowboys because they were just whipping their ass so bad. That would be incredible. And I think that he's probably on to something there in terms of you could describe it as a dog mentality or however you want, but you do kind of question where the fire is with some of these players at certain times, because you hear like you finally got in an argument and you finally had an open clubhouse or locker room discussion after you lost to another team that you should have beaten. You're 6-6. Like, where is that in the middle of the game? Where was that several weeks ago? Where was that after the Minnesota loss, after the New England loss, hell, after the Jets loss? And it you do kind of wonder, like, where is that mentality? But I love the idea of Michael Irvin standing up and goes, sit down. You just got here.
Yeah. I mean, like, shouldn't somebody have already been that guy?
Yeah.
And that's what people have been so upset about this week.
We're the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Hey, Rangers fans, do you want this particular pitcher? Plus, let's talk with Mickey Spagnola right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece, getting ready to talk to Mickey Spagnola as he is getting ready to get on the airplane to head out to Chicago. Cowboys and Chicago right here on 105.3 The Fan tomorrow night. You'll have the pre- and post-game show with Brian Broaddus and Ari Temkin. And we are now joined by Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how's it going today, man?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're excited. Trying to get excited about this game. Michael Irvin just gave a great hype speech on Sean and RJ this morning, getting everybody all excited about this thing, and just basically saying that this team needs some more dogs. And you covered that team whenever they had a bunch of dogs. Does this team not have it?
You know, I thought they did. I thought that DeMarcus Lawrence was one. I thought that and I still think that Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott are dogs. But, yeah, maybe a few more defensively, because I think if we look at things other than the weather-aided defensive effort against the Patriots, this defense has kind of let this team down, giving up, what, 28, 27, 26 in the three other games in this last four-game stretch. If there's some dogs on that defense, they need to start barking Thursday night in Chicago.
Were you surprised at all? Like, I appreciate anybody who feels that they can speak up, but were you surprised at all that Michael Bennett, one of the newest players to the team, was one of the people who was already speaking up as opposed to the more veterans players of the team?
Yeah, and I don't know. Number one, yeah, it did surprise me. I don't know if it surprised me because someone else didn't say something, and you don't know that somebody else didn't say something. It's not like everybody revealed what went on. But I think there was a lot of frustration, you know, in that locker room after the game. Heck, there was still frustration in the locker room, you know, this entire week, that because I don't think anybody envisioned them being 6-6 at this point. So it's great to be frustrated, but you still got to go out and play. Right, you shouldn't have to fall to 6-6 and lose 3 out of 4 to get all fired up to go out and play a football game. That's got to happen every week. That can't just happen when your back's against the wall. Because sometimes when your back's against the wall, your back starts falling through the wall.
Where did you think the Cowboys would be at this point? Because we kind of tossed that around, and I said, you know, maybe 9-3, probably not worse than 8-4. What did you think?
Yeah, I probably would have subscribed to 9-3. If I remember correctly, I kind of picked them to go 12-4. So if they were 9-3 with four games to go, I would have felt very good about that. I think the surprising thing is they just, you know, sometimes you just get beat, and that's what happened on Thanksgiving. But they lost too many close games that were winnable that got them in this predicament. You lose 2 by 2 points, 2 by 4 points, and then you're looking up and going, well, if I could at least split those and had two more wins, you know, if you were sitting there at 8-4, you'd probably say, okay, I'm okay, and especially with the Eagles sitting there at 5-7. So they didn't close the deal on those close games. And what's the difference between this year and last year? Last year, of the 10 wins, 8 of them were by one possession. And there were a couple walk-off field goal wins in that game or late drives for winning touchdowns. This year, they didn't pull it off. So I don't know. If you're not a dominating team, you know, maybe those one-possession games finally even out. Maybe not during the season, but eventually over the course of a couple seasons, because they certainly haven't evened out this year. They really haven't won a game that's been close, or at least within one possession. They've lost all those games. And to me, that's the difference right now between sitting here at 6-6 and finishing last year at 10-6.
Hey, Mickey, with what's the replacement plan or the backup plan if Tony Pollard is not available? Because you're pretty thin at the running back position then.
No, your pretty's not good enough. You're real, real thin, right?
Yeah.
Because you would go into the game if he can't play with Ezekiel Elliott and Jermaine Olawale. That's it. Now, they were going to take this thing, I think, to tomorrow. It wasn't looking good, in my understanding, yesterday. So they were going to kind of see where he is today. I would imagine they take him to the game unless, you know, they analyze it and say, oh, there's just no way. So they're hoping he can. I mean, the only other thing I can see you do, I mean, you know, they've got Mike Weber on the practice squad, but if you sign him, somebody's got to get knocked off the 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
Either you release a guy or somebody's got to go on IR for the rest of the season. And so I guess that might depend on just how severe this ankle sprain is that he suffered at the end of practice. I get my days right. Today's Wednesday. So he suffered at the end of practice on Monday. Like, he did almost everything. And so they said, okay, well, let's see what it looks like when you get back here the next day. And it didn't look real well. So, yeah. And, you know, if you release a guy right now that you kind of have your eye on for the future and say, well, I don't need him now, but I sure like him for next year, I guarantee you some team that's sitting there 2-10 or 3-9, they're looking at the future already, and they'll gobble a guy up and say, okay, well, we'll sign this guy for the rest of the season so we have him for next year. So you have to be very careful being cute with the 53-man roster. Now, if they go into the game as is without Pollard, you know, Jermaine Olawale has taken some snaps as a one-back, running back, not just a fullback. He's capable of that. They practice that in training camp. I mean, that's also always an alternative. And then the other thing, you can always do a little something creative with Tavon Austin to kind of mix things up.
Oh, but yeah.
You sure don't want to get down, like, if something happens to Zeke, to Jermaine Olawale and Tavon Austin.
Any other lingering injury concerns? I feel like we know LVE, and is there anything else out there in the world?
And I think Antoine Woods still will be out. I think Jeff Heath is very iffy. I think I told you guys yesterday when they list the injuries, they list the guy's name and then what the injury is. And if there's two, it's like
double shoulder.
Shoulder. So, yeah, he's in bad shape with those shoulders. And I know he's game, and he probably wants to try and give it a shot. He might need the rest of, you know, this space between Thursday and then when they play the following Sunday. Maybe that gets him back on the field, but I would say he's highly questionable at this point unless he got significantly better overnight.
Mickey, what happened with Donovan Wilson? Has he not played enough?
He hasn't played. He's played on special teams. He hasn't played many defensive snaps, but I got the feeling this week with Heath banged up, and also, by the way, Darian Thompson has been limited all week. And he's been limited with an arm injury. I'm told that Wilson got some more snaps in practice, because normally his snaps are scout team, and that's probably it. But he was getting some snaps with the first team offense. Defense. So they were trying to get him ready to go. And yeah, it's a good question, because in training camp we were sitting there going, "Oh, look at what this guy's doing!
He's a playmaker.
He's around the ball, right?" And then he just kind of disappeared. And I didn't know if, you know, it all got too big from him once the season started. Sometimes it's tough for rookies to kind of figure it all out, but you never know if they get down to it, they're probably going to need him in this game, and I would imagine he will be active.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you, I do believe, again tomorrow from Chicago.
I think we should be able to do that. I might do it out on the street so you can hear the wind. What do you think?
Yeah, either like that it. Or while you're eating some deep dish pizza, any of that would be fine.
I could provide either one of those for you.
All right, Mickey, we look forward to it, man. Have a good one.
Okay, hey, guys. Take care.
He's getting on his plane right now, Kevin. That's him on the Terramac, getting onto the plane. That's the sound that he's just taking.
Did you say Terramac?
Is it Terramac?
Tarmac?
Tarmac. Guys, Kevin wanted to ask a question, but I have an update on his question before it's even asked.
Whoa!
Kevin, go ahead,
face.
Go ahead and ask your question so that I can update you.
How do Rangers fans feel about Zach Wheeler? Because I heard maybe the Phillies are leading the way, but the Rangers are in the mix.
It's a great question.
Are they not in the mix?
877-881-1053. How do you feel about a guy that has informed your club that they are no longer in consideration of their team?
What?
Wow.
He said Rangers are out?
Per Evan Grant, the Rangers will not land their top free agent pitching target this winter. Wheeler has informed the club that it is no longer in consideration, according to a major league source. Indicated the teams that he's likely going to make a decision before the start of the winter meetings, which starts Sunday. We're looking really forward to, you know, talking with Mike Bassick a lot next week about what's going on in the winter meetings. Maybe we can get Tony Gwynn Jr. on to talk with us, John Heyman, Bob Nightingale. But he is reportedly considering Philadelphia along with the White Sox and the Cincinnati Reds.
That's curious to me because then you wonder, like, is it just a matter of money? Because the White Sox are terrible, and so
they might be pretty good this year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe
they're spending a lot of money this offseason.
I guess maybe I just love the Rangers more than you do, Shippy.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Shippy.
So I do kind of wonder then if is it a matter of projecting, like who's going to be good this year, who's not? Is it just strictly a matter of money? I don't know. So we're out. Okay. Well, then Rangers fans, it doesn't really matter what you think because apparently we're out. I was really looking forward to that.
The Rangers are probably out on Gerrit Cole too, Kevin.
What?
That
I can't abide.
They appear to be reserving their mega offer for Anthony Rendon.
So like, who are they going to select with the number one overall pick?
So that's the mega deal that they're getting ready to pay is Rendon's the guy that they're willing to pay that money for. I guess Strasburg and Gerrit Cole are still in the mix, but they're expected to earn like $30 million or more per year. And I guess Wheeler was seen as the, you know, lower tier with higher upside, that kind of potential, but a lower cost than Gerrit Cole and Strasburg. Now, if you want that, you're going to have to spend that kind of money, but you're also already now paying Rendon that kind of money, you know, big time money too. So where are you at with that situation? That's what they got to figure out. The next tier of pitchers is Hwen-Jin Ryu, the Dodgers, who essentially got me to a fantasy baseball championship this year. Dallas Keuchel, Madison Bumgarner, who just, you know, is upwards of $100 million right now. So if you're not willing to go there for those guys, are you willing to go there for Bumgarner? It's not clear if the Rangers want, like, play any of those top guys. Would they be willing
every time Keuchel came into the game?
Would they be willing to go down to a Michael Pineda, Rick Porcello, or Julio Teheran?
Hey, oh man, we talked about Julio Teheran a couple of years ago, and Rick Porcello has won a Cy Young. So I'm just saying
that was a weird year.
That was a weird year. We were leading the charge on the Julio Teheran bus a couple of years ago. I'm just curious. Maybe this is something we can expand on a little bit more later. If you got, would you prefer Rendon over Gerrit Cole? Like, let's just say the Rangers were like, we got $250 million. You get to pick one.
No.
Wow.
I love pitchers. I love pitchers. I want a stable of pitchers. And then I'll build everything else from there.
From the 469, is there any chance that free agent pitcher saw the ballpark dimensions that you guys broke and he's like, I'm out?
The power alleys. Nope. I can't do that.
I cannot confirm nor deny that. If you want to see the dimensions for the new ballpark released at KNC 105.3 or the KNC Masterpiece on Facebook. Coming up next, the James Harden dunk has us wondering, what's the worst missed call you've ever seen? And what should the NBA do about all of this? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, the Houston Rockets want the NBA to gift them a victory after the NBA officials clearly got it wrong last night, Kevin.
Yes, they did.
The NBA officials, it was James Harden went up for a dunk. and the dunk went in. The dunk went in, but then it went through the back of the net, you know, in a weird way, went back over the top and bounced around on top of the rim, and then it was a miss. And they were like, no, hold on, that's a missed shot, because they thought that James Harden missed the dunk. He actually made it. Now, essentially, you could say that would have been the difference in the game right there for the Houston Rockets, because they eventually lost in overtime. The NBA officials said because the Rockets protested for 30 seconds, they could no longer challenge the dunk, the missed dunk, because they had protested for 30 seconds. It is, Kevin,
stupid.
And now the Rockets, according to Tim McMahon, are saying they want to either be given the win or allowed to play the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds of the game. And I think they should be given the win.
What?
I think
you
they should.
Do?
Absolutely. The officials got this wrong. No, they got it wrong. And you can't replace the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds of that game in the way that it should have been called with those 2 points counting.
But you can't just say they would have won the game. You don't know that.
Yeah,
but
they would have totally changed their strategy with those 2 points.
Just go ahead and add the 2 points into the game. What happens? The
no,
game's over.
No. But the
game's
you,
over. You got it wrong.
But you
the officials screwed it up. They got it wrong.
You would have been different the whole way. That's like if the Cowboys were losing by 2 points in a game and kicked a field goal at the buzzer, and you're like, oh, hold on, I forgot about these other 2 points. Like, you wouldn't have kicked that field goal.
Good question from the 469 on the dunk. If it had gone through a second time, would they have counted it as 4 points?
Ooh.
Why can't
Luka do that, right, Kevin?
That's what I'm saying.
That's just
I just settle for him being a competent 3-point shooter.
No, but they got it wrong, dude.
He makes all the step back ones.
Just like I thought about the Saints in the Rams game. They should have, once they said, yeah, we screwed up, even though the entire world knew that they screwed up, they should have given the Saints the chance to go to the Super Bowl. Instead of replaying it, they should have just said, we screwed up. And that's the problem with the NBA, with the NFL, with sports right now, is because the human error element happens, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know, because that's the debate that's going on in the NBA office right now. The Rockets are furious that they lost a regular season game. Now, Kevin, what happens if they miss out on the playoffs or home court by one game?
They're going to point back to this, I'm sure.
These two points could have been the entire difference, and because the guys that you hire to officiate our game screwed up, we end up losing out on it because of it.
So they're going to give the Mavs a 2006 title while they're at it?
Absolutely, they should. And damn right. And they also should give Dez Cottit, you know?
Yeah.
They also should give us that Super Bowl.
Hold on. Can we just go back and relive a whole bunch of these?
Yeah. No, there's a lot of things that should be in the Cowboys' favor, Kevin.
Whoa.
Like, you know what they should do? The NFL should go back and take Jason Garrett's timeout away against the Packers there in that game.
I mean, I want to do that. This is a good question. What was the score at the time? Because that's what would matter from the 817. I'm pretty sure at the time the Rockets were up like 82-69. So they already had a massive lead that they lost.
It was 106
in the last...
to 89, actually.
Yeah, 104, I think.
There you
okay,
go.
So it was a much higher scoring than I thought. But the point is they were ahead 13-15 points in that string. So they still coughed up like a 13-15 point lead in the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds.
That's
and
not
I think
the point,
they were
Kevin.
Ahead
they
even
were
more.
Shook. They were shook because they had to overcome the officials as well as their opponent. You know, that shakes you sometimes. You get all out of shape and what you were doing. You're emotional about what just happened, so you get out of sorts with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that happens, man. No, I totally feel like you just give them the 2 points and move on about your business.
How in the world are the Spurs going to agree to that?
I don't think the Spurs should have any say. They
what?
Yeah, no, listen, were you just willing to accept? What if that happened to you? What would you do?
I would want to replay the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds and count the
points. How are you going to do that?
Well, we got time.
We
got plenty of out days.
What are we going to do? No, there's
NBA players are soft. They needed these extra off days.
That's load management day, man.
San Antonio and Houston are pretty far apart.
They are not compared to the rest of the... What?
Like Brooklyn and New York Knicks, they're right next to each other, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how far away it is to get.
It'd be one thing if this was the Clippers and the Lakers. They just have to go to their normal home.
San
and play
Antonio
each other.
And Houston are not that far apart.
Well, I checked the geography.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to replay the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds or do nothing. And quite frankly, don't you know the NBA is going to do nothing? But you can't just give the game to the Rockets. That's not fair. Plus, Corey, I'm kind of concerned that you want to help a Mavericks playoff rival by giving them an extra win.
I mean, it could be the Spurs.
Okay.
Like, oh, you think the Spurs can't do it?
I mean, they're not going to be rivaling the Mavericks anymore. So why don't you want the Mavericks to have home court advantage?
From the 817, Kevin's emotional right now. Oh, from the 254, shut up, Corey. F the Rockets. I get it. Y'all don't like the Rockets. That's fine by me.
Oh, Corey, what do you think about this? Right now, the Mavericks, 14-6, they would host the Rockets because they're 13-7. If you change that result, they would also be 14-6. Sure, you could argue that since they played head-to-head, the Mavericks would still get home court, but don't worry about that right now. The point is, why do you want to take away extra Luka playoff games at the AAC?
Yeah.
And I don't, actually. I want the Mavericks to play all the games at the AAC.
Because the Spurs are 8-14. They don't matter.
From the 903, Kevin's reaction to Corey's lunacy is what makes y'all show. Oh, and Shippy and his kid voice are awesome, too. That's not a kid voice. That's just a weird laugh. Okay. All right. So the other thing, too, hurtful. That went Sorry, on Shippy. Last night,
yeah,
Kevin.
Wow. Thanks.
I'm
self-conscious. Hey,
Corey's taking shots at Shippy's voice. He's taking shots at Luka getting playoff
games.
Yeah.
Would you like to go
AAC?
At America next?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I know what happens when you go at America. Guys,
you become a huge pop star
last night. And this is TV quality. Sean Sharif actually held his phone up to the television last night to get this audio. But Charles Barkley was talking about Porzingis at halftime last night.
I know the way they run the offense, they put him in a position where he can pick and pop. But for this team to get to the next level, he's going to get in the post, and he's going to be more aggressive. And that's what I hate to see him. He had these little – man, let me tell you something.
Is any of this a function of coming back from an injury where he hadn't played for a year and a half? You're not going to let any of that – you're not going to let that be a factor at all with him coming back?
Let me tell you something.
I've never been – go ahead.
If there is a little guy guard me, abandon, abandon the play. When they switch a little guy on him, am I right, Kenny?
We would start screaming,
mouse. That means a mouse in the house. That means a little guy guarding a big guy. Forget the play. This guy shoots a fadeaway jumper with Lonzo Ball guarding him. He's 7'4". Lonzo Ball's like 6'5", 6'6". Dude, get in the box. And then you see a couple times there, yo, man, I'm open. So, Shaq, you're 100% correct.
See, that's the thing about Dirk's career late or after, I guess, he finally figured it out. There was the was it 07 when Donnie Nelson was like, I'm just going to throw, or Don Nelson was like, I'm going to throw all the little guys Dirk's direction.
Steven Jackson.
Because he screws them up. Baron Davis, Steven Jackson, all the guys kept going at Dirk. Bruce Bowen would eat him alive.
He sucks like Dirk.
No.
Whoa.
God. When did
so
I
first
say that?
Luka and now Dirk. Huh?
God.
So what would happen was Dirk couldn't beat those guys. Dirk learned two things. He learned how to back them down and shoot over the top of them. So he could mix his game up so much. I think Kristaps thinks right now, as soon as a small player gets on me, I shoot over the top of him and it's not working. At some point, he's got to create a little more space. Now, Dirk was great at creating space by how? The flamingo flick fadeaway. He could put his knee in your chest and back and fade away. Kristaps just tries to turn and go straight over the top of you. And I think that there's still a problem with what he's trying to do with his jump shot. I think he needs to figure out how to create a little more space with his body. Now, Kevin, you say he can't. Because
I don't think he can.
Now, but you have to be able to figure out how to do that at some point or how to adapt your game to be able to do that. Dirk did it. He found it. He created something. You have to figure out how to create something that's going to make your game adaptable whenever you do get the ball in the paint because that's an easy 2 points, or it should be.
Yeah, look, it's kind of two different things, right? I don't dispute that he should be able to do that, especially since he has a size advantage, at least height-wise, over everybody in the NBA. But everybody got so caught up with the size of Kristaps's arms and didn't focus on the size of his body. He is 7'3" and weighs like 240, 250 pounds. How many people do you know that are listening right now that weigh 240 or 250 pounds that are at least a foot shorter than Kristaps? Like, that is a frailly built individual. He needs to be up to 280, 290 at that
size. That's still
size.
Some heavy weight, though. I mean, that's still a lot. And that's what he tried to do. He tried to put on weight during the offseason. He just did it up top.
Exactly. You need it to be across the body so then he can bang down the paint. Because somebody asks, is Charles Barkley wrong? Because that's what he did in New York. That is not what he did in New York. He was still a mid-range to outside-range shooter who's shooting 5 3-pointers a game. This year, he's shooting 6 3-pointers a game. It's not really that much different. The difference is his mid-range shots aren't going down, and the switch is he's rebounding the ball more.
And that's what, like, Barkley's game was centered around being able to back people down, being
sure.
able to be the more physical, the round mound of rebound. You know, like he was that guy. So his focus is, hey, to be successful, man, if I was 7'3", like that's clearly what Charles Barkley is saying. If I was 7'3", I'd be backing everybody down.
Look, I'm with you. If Kristaps could continue to average 9 points a game, up his field goal percentage by 10 percentage points, even 8 percentage points, up around 47, and that ups his points per game to around 20 to 22. Awesome. Let's do all of that. I just don't think that's the way you're going to get that done, because that is not consistently the type of game that he plays. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. All week, we've heard the Cowboys players talk about how they react to a loss. The hell with all of that. Tolos, how do you react to a loss? 877-881-1053. How are you reacting during the game, after the game, when the Cowboys are losing, or when they lose? Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
When they win.
Well, you want to know the best way to win? What if I told you I could help you win financially? Because you're thinking, I've taken a whole bunch of L's when it comes to finances. Look, somebody who's very familiar with that process, Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. He's heard every possible story there is, because he's been doing this for a really long time. And there's a reason we trust him. He's one of the Tolos. He's one of y'all. Call 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com.
Yeah, don't call an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to a Tolo. Talk to one of you. Talk to one of us. It can seem like a very difficult call to make, but Mark is in your corner. Financial road bumps hit, man. Those things happen all the time. To everybody, just like me and Kevin, we've
yes.
had those things happen too. Credit card debt starts to stack up on you. You feel like you can't breathe, but if you want to breathe again, go ahead and make the call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Stop those harassing bill collector calls right now and make the call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.